now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit. Here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to the new era of eloquence and exposition. This is Life from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, live and local on location at Merced Church of Christ, deep in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society. With a little help from my friends, I am your host for this half-hour excursion into theology and other sundry matters, Nick Perez, the voice of the Valley. Greetings and welcome to the program. So I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to bring it up one more time, and then I'm not going to talk about it. Well, for a while, I guess. We'll see how it goes. But today's episode is going to be a summary. A summary of everything that we have looked at concerning the argument against homosexuality in general and homosexual marriage specifically. I came across a book by F. Legard Smith entitled Sodom's Second Coming. And he, in this book, very well written, very well put together, as a lot of F. Legard Smith's books are. He wrote this in 1993. 20 years ago. He wrote this book specifically about gay rights. This is what he said 20 years ago. In talking about why it is important to examine the strategies and the tactics of the homosexual movement, if gay rights activists are successful, then two decades from now, we could be facing legalized prostitution, both male and female, the complete legalization of homosexual relations, even with children, legal marriages for gays, parents losing custody of their children for disapproving of homosexual behavior, and even churches convicted of hate crimes for preaching that homosexual behavior is a sin. Man was ahead of his time. A lot more that I could say from that book, but I came across that this weekend. I wanted to share that with you. Here's what we know. When it comes to homosexuality in the Bible, because as I mentioned before, that's the argument, because Scripture is the special revelation of God. What is His will, what He desires, the supreme being of the universe who created everything, who created even us. He knows what's best for us. What does He say about human sexuality, even as He created it? Well, as I've pointed out in a previous episode, homosexuality is categorically condemned in the Bible. It is a perversion, it is unnatural, and it is completely opposed to the will of God and His ideal being captured in the created order, male and female. Further, there's something in the male-female marriage relationship, which Paul picks up on, by the way, in Ephesians 5, about the imaging of the Godhead that takes place in that marriage relationship. That's why marriage is sacred. My marriage is so important. And why it remained between a man and a woman only. And why we should uphold and uplift monogamy. why we as Christians specifically should have the best marriages of all. But I've given every passage of Scripture in the Bible, Old and New Testament, and I have demonstrated that homosexual behavior is categorically condemned in the Bible. And since the Bible is the final word, the last word on sexual ethics, and it is, then what God says about homosexuality matters. But as I mentioned in that previous broadcast, the light of the knowledge of God is revealed in general revelation, in nature, in the creation and the created order. People are without excuse. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 1. You are without excuse for knowing that there is a God. His invisible attributes have been clearly perceived since the creation and in the creation. So, if people reject even that witness of general revelation, how could we expect them to, in the first place, understand, and in the second place, accept special revelation? That is, Scripture. That's where we're at. That's why Bill O'Reilly gets on TV and talks about how those opponents of homosexual marriage, we just thump the Bible. It's because America has by and large rejected God and Christianity and the Bible. Flat out. There is an assault on Christianity. Bill O'Reilly talks about how he's a culture warrior and he has other culture warriors with him. A true culture warrior seeks to impact and influence the culture wherein he or she finds himself, impact and influence that culture with the Word of God. That's what true culture warriors and true culture war is all about, if we want to speak that way. So, excuse me if I were going to thump the Bible. I also dealt with the early church fathers. They continue in the tradition of the New Testament. They continue in the tradition of Scripture. Pederasty is categorically condemned. That is man-boy love, NAMBLA, by the way. That is uniformly and categorically condemned in the early church fathers, but homosexuality in general is addressed, and it is not merely frowned upon. It is the highest, the severest, I should say, the severest kind of language is used to condemn it. I showed that to you. I read at length from John Chrysostom, who has a lengthy homily devoted just about exclusively to that practice, to homosexual behavior. Categorically condemned. You could trace that probably throughout church history. I dealt with philosophy. Philosophy is against homosexuality, homosexual behavior. Because for one, it's not natural. A male and a male are not complements. A female and a female are not complements. In fact, when that relationship is sexualized, it merely drives people to extremes. In fact, F. Lagarde Smith has a lengthy description. Well, it's an entire chapter about the dark side of being gay. Permit me to read this. It is graphic. Bear with me. So when we speak of homosexual promiscuity, it's a whole new ballgame. We're talking gay bars where men dance lasciviously and fondle each other. We're talking multiple partnered sex over the course of an evening with other men whose names are not even known, sometimes up to a dozen partners a night. It's anal. It's oral. It's any kinky way you can do it. It's body kissing and nipple nibbling. It's dildos, douches, vibrators, butt plugs, bondage, beating, whipping, and spanking. It's stripping hot candle wax under the skin. It's the circle jerk. It's the glory holes in bathroom stalls just made for anonymous oral sex. That's the dark side. That's what the homosexual proponents and advocates, what they don't want you to know. They try to present homosexual behavior as though it is a healthy and acceptable form of sexual expression. But as I just mentioned, you don't find balance in a sexualized relationship between men and men and women and women. You find extremes. You find what Ethelgard Smith is talking about in that chapter. You find the dark side of human sexuality. That's what CNN and MSNBC don't want you to know. The homosexual agenda, homosexual marriage, is discriminatory against children. Because, it doesn't allow them to have both sexes of parents in the house. They develop in a fashion that is not healthy. Arguably, the same thing could be said if for a single parent home, but that's not what people are talking about these days, is it?
Yeah.
Not to mention, you connect this with the law, which, you know, is the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. That's natural lawyers will talk about how natural law is contained in the Decalogue, and the fourth commandment is honor your father and mother. Children can't do that. They can't fulfill that obligation to God, ultimately, in a homosexual household. Homosexuality takes, and homosexual marriage takes the sacred institution of marriage and opens Pandora's box. What do I mean? Well, again, the proponents, the advocates of homosexual marriage argue that this is a fundamental right. We live in America, for crying out loud. We're free. We want freedom. We want liberty. And singling out this group, homosexuals, and denying them a right, the right to marry, that's just not right. That's not freedom. And yet, again, that opens Pandora's box, because that very same argument could be made for, however you want to take, polygamists and polyamorous relationships. I mean, you want us to talk about singling out a group? Our fundamental Latter-day Saint friends who practice polygamy, how dare us infringe on their rights? You could open, again, Pandora's box here. The same thing would apply for those who are amorous towards animals. The bestiality crowd. How dare us? That's just their expression of love. The same would apply for the pedophile, who merely wants to engage in consensual, healthy, supportive sexual relationship with a minor. The same would be true for those who love inanimate objects and want to get married to fill in the blank. How dare us deny these people rights? And oh, by the way, especially about that the pedophiles, there's a movement going on. I believe it's over in Europe right now to lower the age of consent down to, I think it's like 16 or 15 or something like that. And don't for a moment think that same thing can't happen and isn't happening even now. What do you think NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association, what do you think they're about? Philosophy, and it, you know, you go on with other things, but that's, philosophy's against it. There's the confusion of homosexuality. There's a confusion of identity with behavior. Lady Gaga and the Born This Way generation. So many people have come out in support of homosexual marriage just in the last couple of weeks. Bill and Hillary Clinton, who were adamantly opposed to homosexuality in the 90s, Bill Clinton's the one who signed into law the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Well, you want to talk about fired up. The homosexual crowd certainly was then, but all of a sudden, ooh, nope. And it's all politics. It's all a game. They're just getting ready for Hillary and her run for the presidency in 2016. Barring the repeal of the amendment in the Constitution, which limits the terms for presidency to two. But I digress. Microsoft commercials. There's always a token gay character in the various television shows on TV. Rob Bell. It goes on. I've talked about and asked how long before where we do face that persecution. Before Brother Smith's comments about being prosecuted for speaking out against homosexuality in the pulpit is prosecuted as hate speech, as a hate crime. How long before that happens? How long before the persecution comes? And it goes on. It goes on. Again, this is the summary. Let me briefly recap some of the things that we can do. We could, and I talked about this in the Christian Response episode, we could reply bombastically, just be obnoxious in the way we present this. And maybe I have been. That's always a possibility. I've tried not to be, but it's certainly a distinct possibility. We could kowtow to the culture, which I do believe is... that's happening. There are many Christians who, although they claim to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, they say that homosexuality is not a sin. To you, I say, you don't really believe that the Bible is the Word of God, if that's your position. Because God is not in favor of homosexual behavior. Yeah, again, it's not His ideal. It goes against His ideal. Or we could respond with love. Not just a warm, fuzzy, cuddly kind of love that's really subjective kind of, but kind of love which Jesus demonstrated and manifested in His life, which says and does the hard things. Jesus, when He met somebody, called them to a higher standard. He called them to go and sin no more. And since homosexuality is a sin, Jesus' message to the homosexual crowds of today would be, go and sin no more. We need to engage our culture. We live with that tension that's going to come when we engage, when we talk about these things, when we enter into the area and arena of ideals. We do need to build relationship, build bridges that are ultimately for the purpose of building the supreme bridge between heaven and earth, spanned by the cross of Christ. We need to stand for and champion, not that, hey, we're right, and look how good I am compared to these poor schleps who can't seem to pull it together, but rather we stand and champion that God's right. Let God be true to every man a liar. And when the day comes, when those homosexuals that we have been talking with, that we have been seeking for them to abandon their lifestyle of sin for the lifestyle of salvation in Christ, when that day comes and when they obey the gospel, we need to rejoice with the angels in heaven. Paul says that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. In that list, which is a lengthy list, but in the midst of that list are homosexual offenders. And then Paul follows it up and says, yeah, and that's what some of you were, past tense, indicating that they were no longer homosexual offenders. Put that behind them, and they gained the life that Christ had. They'd been washed, sanctified, justified. I'll have some closing remarks here in a moment, but first, this half hour brought to you by the Merced Church of Christ. Located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway, the Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our purpose is to see as many people as possible following Jesus as closely as possible, all for the purpose and aim of having a more united fellowship. The Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that's Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet every midweek, that's Wednesday, for Bible study at 7 p.m., and she is served by her preaching minister, Nick Perez, yours truly. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, relational, reliable, real. Back in the 90s, the early 90s, from what I read from Brother Smith, I mean, this thing was all over. It was in your face. It was out of the closet and in the living room. Not much has changed since then, has it? The homosexual crowd is still very vocal, very politically involved, well-connected, well-organized, arguably more so than we are. They are pictured in Isaiah 3 and verse 9. For the look on their faces bears witness against them. They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. In the same way that Sodom paraded her sin, so too the homosexual crowd today is on full parade. I ran across this verse, Psalm 12 and verse 8. I think it characterizes very well what we Christians are up against. On every side the wicked prowl. Pause. What animal is it that prowls around looking for something to eat? That same language is used of Satan, who is characterized as a lion over in 1 Peter chapter 5. The lion represents, well, Satan, he represents the lion. He's the one who's roaring and prowling. And these, the wicked, are pictured as a lion as well. Indeed, they're arguably the agents of the evil one. They prowl as vileness is exalted among the children of man. And that's exactly what's happening. The vile practice, all the stuff that I read from Eflagard Smith, yeah, all of that is being exalted as, hey, it's another acceptable alternative lifestyle. It's being taught in schools that way. In fact, it is, it's vile. I mean, these are practices which should cause people to be shamed that they're involved in it, and yet there is no shame. I want to read one more quote. This one from an early church father, Irenaeus, which I believe is appropriate to sort of close out my comments on this. He said, "Error, indeed, is never set forth in its naked deformity, lest, being thus exposed, it should at once be detected. But it is craftily decked out in an attractive dress, so as by its outward form to make it appear to the inexperienced, ridiculous as the expression may seem, more true than the truth itself." You get what he's saying there? Error, that which is wrong, that which is false, is never put forward in its, with all its grotesque, hideous, and deformed realities. If it was, people would see it automatically. They'd identify it as well, it's unnatural, it's perverted. But rather, it is decked out in an attractive dress. They dress it up. They make it look good. Make it look appealing. Make it look sexy. So that the inexperienced, those who may not even know better, they see it and they think, yeah, that actually looks better. That looks more true than the truth itself. The truth of the matter is, homosexuality is morally wrong and morally reprehensible. And yet error, the falsehood that's being spread, is that no, it's not. It's just another kind of lifestyle. And the inexperienced, they buy into it. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. Also, check out Life from the Pulpit on Facebook. Find our page on Facebook and you can like us. You get all our updates when I go live with the program or update the blog. Also, follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit, @N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentaries there on Luke, James, and 1 John, all there, all available, all free, all for you to use and peruse in everyday Bible study. Also, check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there that we upload as frequently as possible for you to use and peruse in everyday Bible study as well. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.